Yeah, I don't know. When people ask me if I'm ready, I'm not sure how to answer. My wife asked me this morning, are you ready? And I said, no. And she made the comment back, well, that's your statement every time. So, bless the Lord anyway. He's good. He's been faithful again. So, let's thank Him in prayer. So, let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank You for being our Father, being a shepherd to Your people. We just thank You, God, for all who You are. It's hard for me to put it into words of just all the magnificent greatness, God, that You've given to us as mankind. Not only to us here today, but through many, many generations. And oh, that it may be for many, many more generations. Oh, that this people could pass that message on to those around them, that it could go farther, that Your glory could be lifted up. Lord, that's my desire here this morning, that Your glory, Your purpose, Your mission can be lifted up here this morning. Feed Your people now. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I was blessed with the opening here this morning, the thought of dying. It went through my mind as I was studying there. Truly, in order to bring forth more life, we have to die, we have to sacrifice, we have to give up. And it's beautiful to me to think of. Of course, I'm a farmer, and you put one kernel of seed in the ground, and typically, from that one seed comes forth this whole kernel with 18 to 20 round, you know, and long, and from one kernel. Oh, that we could be people like that. But it takes sacrifice. It takes giving up. But what a joy to see the fruit when people give up. Aren't you glad some people gave up for the stake, for where you are today? People probably sacrificed for your behalf. Aren't you glad for that? Well, today I'd like to talk about stewardship. So what is a steward? Is it that person that brings you coffee and tea and a meal when you're on a plane? Is that a steward? Okay. What's another definition for being a steward?
Manager.
Overseer. That's right. Someone who is entrusted with someone else's goods. Okay, very good. A person employed to manage another's property, especially a large house or estate. Okay, so I'm not talking about the person that's going to serve you on your plane trip. Okay, I'm not asking you to be stewards like that this morning. We're not going to spend our time on that. I'm talking about a person who is managing someone else's property. So, who is a steward? Can you answer that question for me? Who is a steward?
We all are stewards.
We all are stewards, he says. So there's nobody is not a steward? Is that what you're saying? We all should be stewards. Well, yeah, okay. Any more thoughts? Who is a steward?
That belong to the kingdom of God.
Those that belong to the kingdom of God. Yeah, as I was studying, my mind was going through that too. I'm like, yeah, it's just for the kingdom of God, you know. It's, but my mind goes back. Okay, so I have things that the heathen have. Yes, Marcus. And the heathen have finances. The heathen have, the heathen have time. You know, that's resources that every, like Earl said, everybody is a steward of the things that God gave. I mean, the Scripture says it. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. So, you and I came to this world with nothing. But everything that you have today, someone bestowed to you to take care of, to be a steward of, to manage. Okay. So, who is a steward? Everyone. Okay? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. I was thinking of even my one-year-old son. Is he a steward? He just had a birthday the other day, and he got a little gift. He didn't have a ball before, but now he has a ball. And everybody in the family knows it's his ball. And he even, when you say, "Where's your ball?" he'll kind of look around. And I think last evening, he was kind of playing with his ball. And I'm like, "Where's your ball?" And he kind of went for it and played with it. I think he knows it's his ball. You know, so he is a steward of that ball, even at that young age. So we all are accountable to the things that are given to us. Okay. So it's not a question whether you and I are stewards. That's not the question here this morning. That's not something we need to discuss. What is the question? Okay, so let's maybe ask another question before we get to answering that one. How have we become stewards? How have we become stewards? How have all people become stewards? Pretty elementary question. Somebody? How have we become stewards? Yes, Nolan.
Because we've all been given something.
Because God gave it. Okay? All right? So God gave. What are some of the most common resources that we think that God has given to us? So we're stewards of something. What are some of the common resources that God has given to us? Name them out.
Money.
Money, okay.
Time,
okay. Family.
Responsibility.
Forgive me my spelling if that's wrong.
Talents.
Very good. Yeah, that's what we're discussing. We're discussing resources. What are those resources? Let's name them. Like time, money,
gifts.
Okay, like what kind of gift? Are you thinking spiritual gifts? Are you thinking... Okay, sure. So let's just say gifts. Would that fall in the same category as talents?
Talents would be very similar.
Material possessions.
Possessions. Is it T-I-O-N? You want to spell it for me? E here.
Yeah, no, just one S. E-O-S-E-S-S. S again, and another S. I-O-N.
Thank you. There it is. Thank you. Looks right when you see it right. Possessions. Okay. Yes.
Breath of life.
So for granted. Wow.
Our own bodies, just even our own health and what we put into our bodies, we're stewards of what we put into our mouth.
Very good. You had a hand?
I was thinking strength and energy, but the last two kind of things.
Okay, yeah. Yes, thank you. You guys are gracious. You all have a gifting of teaching your preacher. Good job. I love you. I love you folks. Yeah. Thank you.
Water.
Yeah. That's a gift that He gives us every day. I'm sorry? Temple? Is that what you said? Yeah. Temple, which is our body. That's the way I look at it. Very good. Well, you're with me. So, wow. Do you have a lot of resources? So the question, I mean, okay, so let's just go down through this. Do the heathen have this? Do the heathen have this? 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 Okay, so what's the message for you and I today?
Use it all for the glory of God.
Okay, can you say that maybe a little bit more. That's very good. I'm thinking, let me ask you this. Do the heathen all use these properly? You and I always use these? So the question today is, I'm sorry? How are we stewarding?
That we would be good stewards.
Right. And the word that I'm looking for is faithful. Okay. Are you a faithful steward to the resources that God gave to you? That's my desire. To just lift up again. Brothers and sisters, we have been given so much. We live in a country where we have so much money. And we live in a land with a lot of time-saving devices. And we have beautiful families. And we have great responsibilities. And we have wonderful gifts. And we can even add to those gifts by going to school in the country that we live in. And we have plenty of possessions. And we all have a good breath of life. Even though my body was sick this past week, it's still going. Can I be faithful to the calling that God has given to us? Can you and I be a faithful steward? Let's turn to John chapter 1. Not chapter 1. Please forgive me. John. Not even John. Hold on. Let me get my thoughts together here a little bit. It's Matthew. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, jumping in at verse 14. This is God's Jesus Christ's description of the kingdom of heaven. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents, and likewise he that had received two, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoning with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. What? It just jumped out at me. What did that say? And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that it is. Did he even bring it? I don't know. It just jumped out at me. It almost sounded to me like it's still there, hidden in the dirt. Maybe, maybe not. Anyway, let's keep going. Verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I have sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Isn't that your desire, brothers and sisters, that you could be faithful and that you could have that report? How does he say it to them? Well done, good and faithful servant. Don't you long to have that coming to your ears on the day of reckoning? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have used the resources that I have given unto you to further my kingdom. Because truly, the Lord was into a far country. He gave His servants things to take care of. And they didn't just take care of them, but they increased them. And so when the Lord came back, in the story here, when the Lord came back, He not only had 8 talents, He also now had 14 talents, 15 talents. Am I doing my math right? He gave out 8. He came back. There was 7 increased. So 8. 15. He has 15 now. So this master was has increased because he had faithful stewards. He had faithful servants. So, what makes a faithful servant? Any thoughts? What makes a faithful servant? Okay, a desire to prosper your master. Okay, very good. Any other thoughts? What makes a faithful servant?
Make good use of what you're given.
Make good use of what you're given. Okay. Maybe we should ask, what doesn't make a good steward, servant?
Laziness.
Dishonesty. Okay, so if we just look at some of our resources here that we have, if we are lazy, we're wasting our time. If we're lazy, we probably don't exercise our gifts very good. Fear. I was afraid. Fear. What is it? Whether he would have got the heartbeat of his father. I mean, the heartbeat of the master. He doesn't have to be afraid. What else makes makes a good, faithful servant? Is there any employers here? Marcus, what do you like to see in your workers?
Faithfulness.
What you're told, I mean, doing
those things according to somebody's wishes without, just if you see somebody doing your wishes without them really being told, I mean, that's
But what an employee like that is getting, they're getting you and your vision and your company's vision and giving themselves to that. And that is being faithful. Okay. So, who are we a steward of? Very elementary question again. Who are we being stewards of? Stewards of who? Yes. We are bought with a price. Who are we bought by? God. Okay, so we are stewards of God. Very elementary. We are God's stewards. Okay, and we want to be faithful to God's stewards. So, Marcus's employee, if he can get the vision of Marcus's business, and he can be faithful. Do you and I know what God's mission is? We're God's steward. Do we know what His mission is? What is it, Steve? What's His mission?
Jesus said that He came to seek and to save those who are lost.
Okay. Mission statement. Let's write a mission statement. God's mission statement. Saving the lost. What was the other one? Making disciples. Making disciples. That's the increase. You're a disciple, making more. Any more? God's mission. Yeah.
The whole duty of man is to do justice, love mercy, and
Just trying to figure out how I can put that in less words. Be just. Be humble. What else was there?
Love mercy.
Love mercy. Okay. Any more? God's mission. What's God's purpose?
Visit the fatherless and the widowed, and be unspotted in the world.
Okay, being unspotted in the world. Any more?
He says to be holy, for I am holy, and holy would be like being separated from evil, or separated.
Be ye holy. Okay. Faithful. Okay. Very good. Let me read this verse. Matthew 22, verse 36 and 37, 38, 39, 40. Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. To me, that's kind of a mission statement. And the statement of be holy, when you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to endeavor to be holy. When you love God with all your heart, you don't have issues with the world. And when you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be humble because you understand who you were and are. And then the second one, it talks about loving the neighbor as yourself. Well, they're that making disciples, telling them about salvation, is caring for your neighbor, saving the lost, visiting the fatherless. To me, I don't know, maybe I'm simplifying a little bit, but God's mission statement is that we love Him, and because we love Him, we love the neighbors as ourselves. And because we love Him, and we love the neighbors, all of a sudden, where should our resources be going? So time, should you be consuming it for yourself? Where is time best spent in those two commandments? Maybe I'm losing you guys. I'm sorry? Serving others. Okay? Building relationships. I had to think, what is one thing that relationships need the most of?
Time.
Didn't know that when I was single. But I probably didn't have that good of relationships either. But relationships take time. Brothers and sisters, are we using our time faithfully? How many hours do you guys sleep? Huh? 8 hours? 10 hours? How many hours do you guys work? 10? What's left then? So what's left? About 18? What's over here, 6? I don't know. That doesn't really matter. But are you being faithful with what you have? Because family is a responsibility that God gave you. And He wants us to be faithful in the things that we have. We have time. Let's use it for His kingdom. Does God want healthy family relationships? Yes. But if you spend your time in front of a computer, or if you spend your time you name it. Spend your time wisely. That you can stand before God and have that words of good job. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Ephesians 5:16 says, let me just turn that quick. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Okay? We have to redeem the time. When you talk about redeeming something, it means you got to get it back. In the day and age that we live in, we have to get time back, it seems. It's hardly enough to go around. At least I'm finding that in my life. As responsibilities continue to grow, I'm wishing for more time. Oh, but that we would be faithful stewards of the time that God gave us. You know, like Calvin said this morning, sometimes our minds have to change. Maybe our minds have to change of all what we can do in that day. And remember that family and responsibilities are things that God gave us to take care of. Okay. Let's spend a little time on talking about money. Second Corinthians 9, verse 7 and 8. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So your money, God asks to just be a cheerful giver. He does talk about 10%. I'm not going to spend my time talking about that. I want you to get the principle of being faithful stewards of the resources that God gave you. And do it with a cheerful heart. God loves a cheerful giver. I'm going to talk to the rich. 1 Timothy 6, 17, 18, and 19. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Okay, trust in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So don't be high-minded. If you're one of the rich in the world, don't be high-minded. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the Lord, who gives all things liberally. I mean, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So, So it's your bank account, okay? God gave it to you to take care of. Don't trust in it. Use it for His mission. Okay? Use it for His mission. Saving the lost. Making disciples. Loving your neighbor. Is there any more that the money should be used for? What else should be money be used for?
Give a just wage to your employees.
Give a just wage. Thank you. Very fitting. Pay your employee well. Just. Anything else? You know, and I'm not sure what to do with this. I'm just going to bring it out. You know, He giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And that's one thing about our Lord Jesus Christ. He is not a slave driver, brothers and sisters. Do not take this message and think that He's a slave driver, okay? He's all-consuming, but He's not a slave driver, okay? And He wants a cheerful giver. It's about cheerfully loving the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And when you've got that down, then it's going to be easy to help out those in need. And it's going to be easy to give. Okay? And you're going to need money to take care of your family. Okay? So, oh, that we could learn how to be faithful stewards with the resources that God gives us. Let's talk about the body. What is the body? The temple of the Holy Ghost. God living within us. This is where God lives. This is where God dwells. This is how God loves. Through this body right here, God loves another person. So what does that mean? Let's just picture an old temple back in the Old Testament. There's a temple. Okay, let's just picture it. And you're entering into that realm. And there the temple is. But it's run down. And it ain't welcoming. Is that what we need to be considering here? Keep your body in shape. Keep the temple in shape. It is a resource that God gave you to watch over. And then out of that you can love your neighbors. Out of that you can build relationships with your children. Out of that you can build relationships with your wife. Out of that you can have a marriage for 51 years if you take care of your body. You name it. You know, please hear me out. It's not my ideas. It's about you being faithful with the resources that God gave you, and you need to apply the principle to your life. It's the principle that's the heart matter here. It's not about this and this and this. It's not about don't drink coffee, and it's not about... Okay? It's about you taking care of your body the way you think God would like for you to take care of your body. And every person's going to be different. One person says greens is good for you, and the next one might not. Okay? You have to be a keeper of the temple of God. Why? So that we can do God's mission statement. Okay? That we can do God's work. Spiritual gifts are all spiritual gifts the same? No. Does everybody have all the same? No. Are they given out differently? Yes. Why? Why are different gifts in different people at different times? For the perfecting of the saints. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Let's just turn there. I'm not sure if that's going to say about perfecting the saints, but 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these things worketh that the one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. I think I'm going to stop reading there. So here we see that spiritual gifts are different. And not everybody will have all the same gifts. Some might have more than one. But that's okay. If we go back to the story of the man that gave out his talents and the Lord that gave his talents. You know, he gave one man five talents and the other two another one. We don't know why, but that's just the way he chose to do it. And that's the way God chooses to do us. But it's all for the furtherance. I mean, each one of us has something to contribute. Okay? And it's like Roy said, it's to profit. It's to benefit. Okay? Who's it supposed to benefit? Who? The body. Okay? And when the body is benefit, who gets benefited? I'm sorry? Everybody. And when everybody's benefited, who gets benefited? God gets glory. Brothers and sisters, are you being a faithful steward? Are you being faithful with the gift that God gave you that the body could be benefited? And when the body is benefited, God is benefited? See, we are stewards of God. Real quick to being an employee. When you're an employee, are you being a steward of God? What are some of the resources when you are an employee? What are some of the resources you're using?
Time.
Okay. What else? When you are an employee, what are some of the resources that you're using? Develop skills, gifts. Yeah. And you're using your breath of life and your body. If you don't have a body and if you don't have breath of life, you can't be an employee. Okay? I'm not going to hire you. Yes. Responsibility. Okay, so those are some of the resources, and there's probably more. But when you're an employee, and back to the same thing again, who gave you these resources? God did. And when we are being faithful at work, we are all of a sudden being a faithful steward to God. Are you a faithful steward? Are you a faithful employee? Are you slothful? Are you a consumer? Romans 12, verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I know I'm just pulling some of these verses out. I don't have the time to take them in context. I'm not sure if they actually even fit very well. But Colossians 3, 22, 23, and 24. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. See, fear the Lord in this obeying your master. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Can anybody finish the sentence? As to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to who? The Lord. Not your master, but as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. It's not about you. When you're serving the employee, it's not about you. It's about serving God. You are being a faithful steward if you serve your employee faithfully. You know, you could, Hosea, be at the job site and you could be putting in time, but what is really going on? Are you there just to get the paycheck? Or are you there to further the business? Are you there to help the business prosper? Okay? That's my challenge. To be faithful in serving your employee, that it can be an increase to the business. Okay? To be an asset. If you left, would they feel it? And there's heathen that get that. And they do well in that. They understand that I need to be a benefit to my business and I'm going to do what I can to get it. But there's also heathen that just get it, get their paycheck and consume it. And there's Christians that just consume their paycheck. But there's Christians that get it. They say, I want to be a benefit here. I want to build up. Okay? I want to make a difference. Why? Because I have a God to glorify. I have a mission statement. I'm here for a purpose. Being a faithful steward to the believers. Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we are to do good not only to... It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Okay? So we need to do good to all men. But especially to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Oh, that we could learn how to grow in some of those areas about taking care, caring for each other, building each other up, doing things for each other. As Harry was sharing last weekend, he mentioned about community. We don't live in community locations like the old church used to. You know, they used to walk to church. Churches were part of all the same neighborhood most of the time. I think they had some special things because they were part of the community. I would say let's just continue to lift up the need for that kind of brotherhood. I feel like it's something we're missing out on. Maybe it's just something that's on my heart, but I long to see a little bit more of... Yeah, and you can say this is a Jason thing. I don't mind. I mean, this is my ideas here, but it feels to me like we could continue to build those relationships for the body's sake. And when the body is strong, when we feel cared for, when we minister to each other's needs, we become a stronger core. And you know what? And we do that, we also build relationships. And relationships take time. It takes resources. But in a world that we live in today, relationships are crumbling everywhere. Let's build relationships. 1 Peter 4, 9 and 10. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, caring for each other, especially to those who are in the household of faith. Just real quick, I'm struggling whether I should go and share this part. Bear with me as I wrestle with my feelings and thoughts and... If I can ask, I mean, I'm not sure how to say this, but what I'm going to share next is out of 1 Timothy 5 through 16. I don't think I'm going to take all the time to read it. If I can just ask all the widows to close their ears, this isn't for you. This is for those that have widows in their family. So, just want to speak to you as an individual. And I really encourage you, I'm just going to pick out two or three verses here, I think, instead of reading the whole chapter. I just encourage you to take that home and study it out for yourself and, see what it says for yourself. 1 Timothy 5, verse 4, "But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God." What I'm learning there is if you as a family member have a widow and it is part of your family, you have a responsibility. Verse 16 says, "If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Can you be a faithful steward with the resources that God gave you and minister to your family? That's my challenge to you. And there's more that's said in there, but I think I'm just going to leave it at that. God has a plan to take care of situations, and I marvel at how simple He makes it sometimes, how complicated we as human beings can make it. So just to recap, who makes us stewards? Who makes us stewards? Did I lose you? Did I scare you? Who makes us stewards? Yes.
God gives us a responsibility, and then all the stewardship kicks in.
God gave us a responsibility, and stewardship kicks in. God made us stewards of His resources. Okay? Now it's up to you whether you're going to be what? What kind of steward are you going to be? You're going to be a faithful steward. And if you're going to be a faithful steward, you have a great reward coming. Can you imagine when that man with 5 talents and he saw his Lord coming, he was not afraid. He was glad to see Him coming. Why? Because he was faithful. And he could meet his Lord with peace and joy and say, here's your 5 talents, here's 5 more. And the Lord embraced him and said, come on home. You've been faithful. Enter into the joy of the Lord. See, your minister, that man was able to enjoy the enjoyment of his master now. And I'm sure the same joy was with the man with 2. You know, it's not about what you have, is it? It's not about what you have, is it? It has nothing to do whether this is $1 million or $1. This, we all have the same amount. This, we might have differing amounts. It's not about whether you have 1 talent or 10. It's not about having 1 responsibility or 20. What is it about? What is it really about? It's about being faithful. And if we can be faithful to His mission, okay, saving the lost, being just, being humble, visiting the fathers, being holy, if we can be faithful to His mission, we can hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. May the Lord bless you as you continue to grow in the areas of being a steward. I really appreciated Harry and his topic last week. You know, it wasn't just about taking away media. I really respected that. You know, it's not just taking away media, but it's gaining something so much more. And what was it? I mean, something stood out to me. I don't know. I'm curious if you guys are thinking the same way that I am. What is it that's something better that you can get? Relationships. And that's part of God's mission statement, brothers and sisters. Relationships. One anothering. God help you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Jason, for laboring in the Word and love. for all of us. I'm sure we've all been convicted, challenged. We want to be we want to do this week, right? We want to celebrate love, February 14th, right? We all know it's a special date, and I think this is very fitting. Missions, celebrate love. Let's love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It was a challenge for me. I so appreciated the emphasis on and lifting up relationships and all those things that Brother Jason talked about. Is there anyone that has, let's hear what's on your burning heart. Is our mic ready? Anyone have? Anybody? We're going to just digest. Brother Steve here. It's a lot to,
Yeah, this week at work, Monday, one of the Amish guys, he was saying how, he knows this other, I think it was even a relative, but from a different area, that they're a lot more conservative in their Amish beliefs. And I was asking him, what he means, and he was talking about how they're pretty much living off the land, and they don't, they're just real. They don't have tractors. They just all these different things that make them more conservative. So I was pondering that, thinking of that. And then Tuesday, I asked him, I said, well, what is the value of, what do you see? Because it was like he was, lifting that up, and I know this guy. I mean, he really loves the Lord. He wants to do what God wants him to do. He loves reading God's word and all this. And so I just asked him, what do you see as the value of a lifestyle like that, and he said, well, raise my children in a way that is just separate from the world, and to get, we're made of dirt, and just to be more in tune with the nature by farming and that, and just some of those kind of things. And I asked him, I said, well, what does God say? If your father gave you, like he's dying and he gave you last instructions, if he told you that you would, that he really wanted you to do this and really wanted your life to, to be like this, you would listen to him, if he was dying. You really appreciate your father and you'd really listen to him. And I said, God told us something, and it, basically the mission, God's mission statement. I said that, and he about making disciples, going into the world, and he said, that's a really good point. And what I told him, though, was that you can live such a simple life, and that your whole life, this simple living and all of this is your whole focus is this, your lifestyle, your life, even though there's good things there. I said, it's really not any different than somebody's over here who's just living an exorbitant life, whatever to, for their own pleasure, and it's missing God's purpose, which is, for us to make a difference, in the world and that. So, I don't know. I really appreciated the message this morning, and it was just very practical. We all have things that God has given us, and I want to be a faithful steward of what God has given me. So pray for me that I could.
Yeah, I think it's good. Pray for each other. Don't faint, by the way. There was two things that stuck out here. Wrote down, to redeem the time. Well, maybe we need to first change our mind. I don't know how that works. Change our mind or redeem the time. Either one. But we need to, I thought about that for myself at least, too. Not always be thinking about, how much I can sit in my, chair and relax, at the end of the day or whatever, but how can I redeem this time? And maybe it isn't doing that, but I can read the Word or or Brother Earl has a comment up here. Or, yeah.
Thank you, Brother Jason, for sharing that. And I just had to think of the words of Jesus when he said, "Freely you have received, freely give." And we certainly have so much, don't we? As I think of other people in other countries, all the resources that we have, the money, you know, all the idle time that we have. I mean, many people in other countries, they work from sunup to sundown just to exist, for existence. You know, they're out there tilling their gardens by hand. You know, they work hard. We have godly families. We have gifts and talents. We have possessions, endless. We have all the resources of a comfortable life, all the gadgets. Freely we have received, freely give. And what I guess what I'm saying is, someday I'm going to stand before God, and I've got to give an account for how I spend my time, my money, my relationships, my gifts, my possessions, you know, what I did with my body. All those, and I do want to do what's listed over there in God's mission statement. I really like that. That brings things into focus, and we need to, bring our life into focus, and really only what's done for God and His glory, His kingdom, is going to last. Everything else is going to burn up, and it's going to pass away. So, I've been challenged and blessed.
Only what's done for Christ will last. That was one of my father's favorite statements, too. Appreciate that.